And welcome to another edition of My Fermented Life. This is a Behind the Wheel series. I am your host, Mike Miller. This is about the journey of a founder of a food startup and its journey of becoming a national food and beverage brand. Today is June 23rd, 2018. And today I look forward to kind of an interesting topic. A lot been going on, as a lot of you are tuning in for the first time. You know, please review the earlier podcast to kind of get an understanding of where I've come from and where we're going. But today, you know, as you'll learn, I'm trying to be very transparent. This is definitely not a high production value podcast, and that's kind of the whole point, right? As entrepreneurs, we have to make decisions, you know, where those dollars are allocated. So I'm going to start off with just kind of giving you a rundown, since it seems like I'm kind of doing these more on a weekly basis than a daily basis. Just kind of where what's going on with myself and this week. And it's been an interesting week, you know, as I've been sharing that. You know, sales has really kind of increased dramatically for us in a very short amount of time. And it's definitely bringing some challenging with scale. You know, when you start falling behind orders 3 to 4 weeks, you know, that becomes very discerning for me. It's definitely, you know, I'm kind of tired. A lot of people say, well, that's a good problem to have. Well, at this point, and this is something, you know, first time you kind of experience a little bit of growth, you're excited. But when this continues to happen and orders start getting pushed back 3 to 4 weeks, it is not a good thing anymore. You know, the whole name of the game in the money business or this business, right, is, you know, in like a rabbit, out like a turtle. That was like day one of accounting in college. I remember that very discerning. Is the whole basic principle of corporate accounting was cash in like a rabbit, out like a turtle. And so when we cannot fulfill orders, all we're doing is delaying that you know, realized revenue down the road. So, you know, if you're pushing it down, that means it's hard to kind of, you know, make up for it down the road. So, you know, we want to get that sales and revenue in as fast as possible so we can, you know, get the product delivered and get the next one in. And that's how we're going to accelerate growth. So when you're following 3 to 4 weeks behind, not able to do that. So all you're doing is kind of delaying your realized growth and revenue, and it's frustrating, right? And especially, you know, where we're at, we've been self-funded. So, and I think that's going to kind of get to the topic, what I'm going to talk about here in a little bit. I think I want to talk about finance today. You know, there's two F's I wanted to talk about, and it's either financing or finances and family. You know, we are at this stage, we're a family-run business, and I think that's where some people start off, and I think there's some different dynamics and amazing things there, and some challenges. But I think today, kind of where I'm at the most of where what's leading me today, we'll talk about financing here a little bit, but we just got to sum up the rest of the week. You know, earlier in the week, I had a great opportunity to actually continue kind of more of my networking. You know, one of the things I'm striving for, personal growth, even though some people see me as very extroverted, I'm actually kind of a wallflower. When I'm around people I don't know, I've become very introverted, and I'm not really comfortable at like parties and things like that. I kind of glam on to people that will talk to me, and if nobody's talking to me, then I'm just kind of like a, you know, fly on the wall. You know, without me, the walls would all fall down, unless you give me a few beers, then I kind of loosen up. So, but it's been a personal growth objective of mine is start really focusing on more networking, right? If I'm going to be the CEO of this company, I've got to mix it up. And I do have the ability to, like, flip the switch, right? I have no problem if I kind of put that hat on or flip the switch to go into sales mode with people I don't know or so. But now I'm trying to do it on networking, right? And that's really difficult for me because I'm so passionate about, you know, what I'm doing and what Madges is doing, that sometimes I get those conversations and I get carried away, right? and I make it more about me, and that's not really effective networking for what I'm starting to learn. That, you know, you really need to start making it about other people, right? That's, I think, what every self-help book or how to win and influence people is. You know, it's all about how do you make them feel important. That's how you draw people in, and that's how they kind of like secretly want to do business with you, because you basically didn't talk about you at all. You talked all about them, which is what everybody likes to talk about. And it's that kind of way of, you know, people getting to like you, right? So that's a kind of my personal growth objective. So I've been putting myself in these situations to kind of force myself my hand. And so this week I got a great opportunity to go down up to Austin, which is really a hotbed in the food CPG industry around the country. So probably one of the top five city hotbeds for that type of, you know, what we think would be tech, which it still is. But there's a big groundswell food, you know, food and beverage CPG companies up there. And so it's definitely one of the top in the country. So the advantage of being so close, you know, it's only an hour, over an hour, hour and a half drive up to Austin. You know, I have the cheaper cost of living and rents down in San Antonio, but I'm just, you know, a jaunt up the street to get to Austin. So I went for this called SKU program. They were having they were talking about investment. So it's kind of some investment panels about you know, raising capital for different stage growth companies. So it was really awesome, and these were all focused around, you know, CPG companies. And if you don't know what CPG is, that's consumer product goods. And obviously, if we're in the food business, as far as not, you know, creating a packaged good or a product, then that's kind of what really our space is. So we had a great opportunity to kind of sit back and listen to some very well-known investors in this space at two different market levels, you know, where it was kind of, you know, early stage companies and then, you know, growth stage company. So we had two different panels, and some of these are names are very impressive. They had some, definitely some winners, whether it be, you know, Stubbs Barbecue, I think Rhythm Superfoods, people had invested in Buy, and I mean, some just big names were there. So it's really, really cool for an entrepreneur to sit here and listen to this brain trust of people in the space, because our thought was, how do we position us for, you know, for investment. So we'll go into that here in a little bit, but that's kind of what happened this week. Got a chance to go up and meet some new entrepreneurs, some entrepreneurs that I've met at previous events. You know, shout out to Nick over Wild South Tea. He's doing a Yupon Tea, kind of, you know, chance to kind of network. Also met somebody new that's doing this like coffee powdered creamer with stevia, and she was a great opportunity to meet her. You know, even if she is a former Trojan, I being a Bruin, you know, sometimes, you know, ex-LA people from different universities can coexist, since we're all fighting that common good. But yeah, so just good opportunity to network with other entrepreneurs in similar kind of environment. So if I encourage you, if you got something around you like that, get involved. You know, it's just, this business can be so lonely and so difficult to do it by yourself. You know, find somebody, you know, with mentor or just somebody that you can kind of, you know, push each other, right? So what else this week? Just, you know, finally getting caught up on production to make all these orders for, you know, our big market, right? I think Amazon has really been a disruptor to us and our production expectations. It's continued to kind of grow and expand, and I'm kind of, you know, we need it to slow down just for a few days, just so we can get caught up on some of these back orders and at the same time trying to increase production. So, and then, you know, today I'm on the road to Dallas. It's early Saturday morning. Got up early, got to run up here to Dallas, do a couple tastings, keep the demo. So definitely a lot going on. But the one thing that's been going on this week, I think, and is really about financing, right? Let's kind of delve into the topic today. You know, between sitting here at SKU and learning about you know, how we're going to raise capital. We're right now actively going after, you know, raising capital. And it's been difficult, right? You know, I probably started this company like the way you should not start a company, right? You know, and I'll do, you know, if you had to do it over again, or I had to do over again in the perfect world, you know, I would have been saving up for years and had this big nest egg and invested it. But instead, what did I do? I took opportunity of a downturn of the market in the oil business, and I got laid off a couple of key opportune moments, and I cashed out my 401k, you know, which luckily I know a little bit about stocks, so I pick and chose my own investments and even my own company, which did really well. So, you know, hey, it's not like hundreds of thousands or millions, but it was enough to get started. And, you know, so that's kind of what I did, right? I put it on the line. I basically cashed my 401k and started this business. So, again, I repeat, probably not the most responsible way to do it. But a long time ago, I learned that sometimes you're not truly free until you have no options. So I guess this was my way of the old, you know, Vikings or whatever, burning their bridges so that they couldn't retreat, that they had to fight. And that's the same way, right? That I will never truly be free unless I only have one option, and that is to be successful at this. So I guess that's in my own way, cashing out the 401k was that way. So, but at the time, you know, I had a startup back in 2010 that went under, kind of lost, not really a startup, but it was another company I ran. We had done very well, and then a downturn in the economy, and it fundamentally changed our business, and I made some rather poor decisions at the time, and we just kind of ran the company down. But it didn't leave me in the best financial shape, you know, kind of, I didn't structure the company right. And so I put a lot of personal debt stress on myself and my credit. So obviously here I am doing another startup with 401k and I have cash, which is great. But when that runs out, what do you do next, right? It's not like I had the cleanest credit history anymore. So, you know, it's taken me 3 years of cleaning it up and working hard, and I haven't been able to get traditional financing for this business. And so, but that's finally, you know, coming to fruition this week, right? You know, I think some things dropped off, and I've been doing a good job trying to clean things up, you know, and trying to get the IRS off my back from years and years ago. And that's a whole nother nightmare. And you know, sometimes when you do the right thing with the IRS, it comes back to bite you in the butt. But, you know, that's them aside. But, Anyway, finally things are starting to happen, right? And I truly believe that things happen when they're supposed to happen. You know, that, you know, when it's, sometimes the answer is not always have to be yes or no. Sometimes it's just not yet, right? And so I think now things are starting to pop where we are actively seeking money. You know, in a perfect world, we're trying to raise right now at this, I guess you call it either angel/seed stage. You know, we'd love to get 250 to 500. But in the meantime, you know, I need working capital, you know, right now, right? So we're exploring, you know, traditional funding right now, trying to open some lines of credits with banks or a small business loan, just so we can, you know, we already told you last time we're making packaging change. So, you know, we've got to order, you know, a pallet or two of you know, new jars. We've got the new bottles we need to get. So there's another two or three pallets we need to order, or purchasing agreements we're going to set up with some distributors. And that all takes money, right? You know, as a young company, it's hard to get terms with some of these bigger suppliers. You know, they laugh, not really laugh at you, but you're like, ah, you're small fry when you're only one pallet, right? To me, that's a huge step up, right? That's a pallet of these plastic jars is like 4,400 units, right? I mean, here not too long ago, we were just like, man, you know, I'm burning through 200 jars a month. And I'm like laughing at that now, going, oh yeah, we're doing well over, you know, 800 to 1,000 a month now. So, you know, it's just different stages, right? It's a new normal all the time. And so, you know, it's hard to get these terms, and you know, you like the terms because of flexibility for cash flow, right? Cash is king, right? Sales are easy. Cash is king. And that's tough in this business, you know, manufacturing, when you're putting all your capital up front and might not see payment for 45, 60 plus days, depending on what you've got set up with your customers. So, and again, that goes back to why it's so important to have some kind of direct to consumer, you know, retail outlet, so that that helps, you know, give you more profit so you can fund these things. But, you know, with new packaging, and then now we, you know, we're getting new labels, and soon, hopefully, you know, we get this, some of these loans to come in, or lines of credit, we'll be able to do a new package designer and really kind of update our brand and really bring it more of that, you know, regional and soon to be national type look. So, you know, there's a lot of things to consider, right? You know, credit cards are not the best way to do it. We did that early on, and, you know, we still got to make those payments every month, so that kind of takes away from our cash flow, and it's a higher interest rate, you know, but you do what you got to do, right? I mean, it's just sometimes in early stage, it's robbing, you know, the old saying, right? You know, you're taking one hand robbing Paul to pay Mary or something like that. I'm not, you know, it's not really my term I use, but, you know, you hustle, you do what you got to do. So, you know, we're pursuing more traditional banking right now. And it's just because I'm at that stage, I'm not quite sure if I'm wanting to give up equity yet, right? And I've always said, I'm willing to give up equity down the road for the right relationship. You know, it's not about just the money, right? I don't want just somebody who's going to say, here's some money. In fact, when I was at that conference in Austin, one of the best, it was amazing. One of the best things I heard, and it was, he was Bradley from Cavu Ventures. And this is a guy, if you don't know, look him up. You know, I think he was the CEO of Rhythm Superfoods. I think he's also, Cavu's been involved in the investment and Buy Beverages, which is like one of my favorite beverages out in the market right now. So, but I loved what he said. And so listen carefully. He said, you know, investors, we're not the type of investors that just want to, and I'm paraphrasing, give you money and sit back and cross our fingers. We're the type of investors that want to give you money and we want to roll up our sleeves with you. You know, so, and that's important. You know, it's, he was saying that there's plenty of people out there that just will throw you money and then just let you, you know, sink or swim. He says, but, you know, we take it as we're invested with you. We want to see the success of your company just as much as you do. And so I think that's the partnership that we're looking for, right? It's that, it's not just the money. The money's important. We need it. That's no argument. But it's also, what value do you bring to this relationship beyond just the money, right? Do you bring distribution knowledge? Do you bring access to, you know, where we can't get in? You know, a million different things, right? So it's that, you know, whether it be legal or it's just what other added value. I mean, if that's what it takes to be successful in the investment world, then that's great, right? That's what their value proposition is to their customers or the companies they invest in is, hey, we bring more to the table than just money. We bring, you know, support, advice, you know, relationships, and all that stuff is worth 10 times more than the money. So I think that's what, you know, going into this, as we start to prep for it, that's ultimately important for us, right? I don't always know what I'm doing. I'm doing a great job of faking it until I'm making it and asking people, but I know by bringing the right partners aboard, I think definitely, you know, that's going to kind of help us really scale this growth even to another crazy level. So, you know, but I tell you, this event was kind of a kick in the gut, right? And it's all in our world, right? You know, I'm this growing, like, mega mania rate, and I'm like this huge company in my own mind, right? But when they start telling you terminology or kind of give you what's really going on in the investment world, it's like a kick in the gut in a way. It's like, dude, I'm just a small fry. You know, when they're like, we don't even look at companies really until they're doing a trailing revenue of about $1 million a year. And I'm thinking, oh my God, you know, that's, you know, 6-7 times where we're at right now. You know, this is such early stage. And I'm like, oh geez, I'm just a nobody, you know? So it's like, God, it really kind of puts you down to earth and humbles you, which is good, right? And you know, a lot of them are like, yeah, we want to see you guys early on, you know, struggle and figure things out, right? It's about that problem solving. So, you know, if you're going through those challenges, you know, embrace it. And that's the struggle. Truth be told, that's what I love about this, right? It's figuring the crap out. It's how do you get by without it? Because anybody can burn through money, right? But it really determines how, you know, a founder or CEO is, what do you do when stuff hits the fan, right? How do you react? How do you figure things out? I think that's what builds the importance of, you know, the team. And that's why all the investors stressed how important, you know, people are. You know, the team is the key, right? And, you know, that was another thing they kept stressing, right, is people, product, process. You know, that was not necessarily in that order, but people, I think, was number one, process was number two, and the product was number three. So, you know, it kind of gave us some good knowledge about how we need to position ourselves, what they're looking for. You know, I think the key with the investment was, is they don't expect food CPG companies to make you money. What I mean by is on your EBITDA or on your TAC, you know, as far as your end of the year P&L, that, you know, you're like, you know, 15-20% net profit, right? I think they expect you and early on to be running negative. What they do want you to do is to focus on building that profitable product, you know, that making sure your margins are good and that you have that good variable margin in there, that that way eventually down the road, if you sell out to a bigger company, that with their expertise, they know how to kind of cut through the overhead, and you know, you've given them an easy path to take your product and using their size, economy of scale, to basically make that product extremely profitable for them. So, you know, it comes back to making sure your product is profitable in your retail sales and all that, or your suggested retail price, you know, gives people the margins that everybody needs. So that was intriguing. So, you know, we kind of got humbled a little bit, but, you know, but we've realized that, you know, hey, we are onto something. A lot of them talked about, you know, trends in the food industry, and I was just kind of laughing half the time because I'm like, dude, we are so there, and in a couple of cases, we're even ahead of it. But, you know, at the same time, there's the challenges, right, of, you know, velocity and sales through and all that. So in the meantime, that's kind of what we need the funding for, right? We need to scale. We need to increase our production capability. We need to really start building our team. Again, people, right? So we need that capital. So we're just figuring out, okay, well, if we can get, you know, in the meantime, well, let's get something traditional, help us out with this new package design, you know, give us a little bit of working capital and some inventory, and start building the team, right? And that's gonna be the big challenge, but that's something that we gotta work on. And hopefully my 12 years as a headhunter will pay off on that. It's just, you know, now I'm selling people the idea, the vision of a future company. So not having to bribe people with increased compensation. But anyway, so yeah, that's my deal about financing today, right? Is, you know, we're kind of looking at this journey, and I'm definitely going to follow you in or fill you in on how that's coming. So this has been one of my longer podcasts, I think, but something is just, you know, it's a struggle, man. And you're going to definitely run into challenges with finances and money. And so, you know, that's definitely not one of my strengths. I understand finance, but if you sit there and want me to, I'm not disciplined enough to always, you know, sit there and do everything in QuickBooks. You know, one of the first people I think we're going to hire as far as, you know, from this funding is, you know, an admin to come in and start helping me stay on top of, you know, QuickBooks and some all this. I know my money people will really like that. So, but, you know, realizing that this needs to be a part of my daily routine now is, you know, we need to start fundraising. It seems like I'm always trying to figure out how to pay for this shipment or this and that. And so it's just something I think we're always going to start have the focus on. So it's going to be important for me to start building a production team so I can get out of the kitchen and, you know, as they say, stop working in the business, but working on the business. And that's going to be fundraising. So, and I think you're going to see in the future that that's a big part of what your role is going to be is how we're going to fund it, where's the money coming from. And, you know, that's going to be the key to the growth. So, Anyway, that's another episode of My Fermented Life Behind the Wheel series. And as I drive to Fort Worth, I just hope you have a great day, and I appreciate your time and listening to this crazy, you know, fermented life of mine. And I look forward to, you know, engage with you. Please leave comments. Please share with a friend if you think this is not too lowbrow. But, you know, it's honest and it's true. And, again, until we talk again or you hear me again, have a great week and enjoy. Thanks.